Welcome to Fermentality. I'm your host, Kat Pierce with Atlantic Brew Supply, and we're homebrewers talking homebrew and sharing fermentation. Welcome to Fermentality. Thank you guys for joining us today. Today we have an awesome guest, Jorge Ramos, with the Breaking News Beer and Coffee podcast, YouTube channel, Facebook page, galore. Jorge, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about some of the projects that you're involved in and how you got involved in beer and brewing?
Wow. Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is, like you said, Jorge Ramos. I'm from San Juan, Puerto Rico, all the way from the Caribbean. So I started on the, like, a beer enthusiast maybe around 20 years ago, back in Puerto Rico, tasting my first beer that fell in love with Samuel Adam Buster Lager, maybe around 2000, at the beginning of 2000. And then that changed my mind about the beer. And then in 2010, I started to homebrew. And start a homebrew club back in Puerto Rico, Homebrewers de Puerto Rico, in 2012 with some friends. So I am one of the founding fathers of the Homebrewers Club of Puerto Rico. And then after that, I worked on the Ocean Lab in 2018 till we moved to the States, that I had to quit my job in Ocean Lab Brewing Company in Puerto Rico. So we're going to talk a little about Ocean Lab in a few minutes.
Well, I look forward to that. Excellent. So we generally start this podcast off by just asking essentially why you're here. So obviously you're from Puerto Rico.
Yes.
And I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions, or a plethora of questions, about specifically what the beer and homebrewing scene is like in Puerto Rico versus the United States.
Of course.
So I'm just going to get us started off by asking, how did the craft beer scene in Puerto Rico first start, and what has its evolution been like in recent years?
Well, the first wave of Puerto Rican homebrewers, like us with a homebrew club, with something official, started around 2009, 2010, when the first homebrew shop opened in Puerto Rico. That's called Caribbean Brewing. Shout out to Billy Norris, who is the owner. And sorry about that. He's the owner of the Caribbean Brewing, and started around 2009, 2010. And then after that, we began our homebrew club in 2010. Homebrewers de Puerto Rico was the first. Right now, it's the first and the only homebrew club in the island.
Oh, wow!
With around 100 members. So it's a really nice homebrew club. We start with some competition. We start with the It's been 7 years ago. We start with a competition, homebrew competition, that's called Caribbean Homebrew Cup. That's this past August was the 7th edition of the Homebrew Cup. And right now in the month of December, on December the 9th, we will have a Homebrew Fest.
Oh, nice.
So the Homebrew Fest will be in La Esquinita, Bayamón, Puerto Rico. This will be like third or fourth edition. Last edition, we got maybe around 600 people gather to taste homebrews, around 32 homebrew on that homebrew fest. So right now it's booming. It's like I said, compared to the States started homebrew here on the 70s, on the 80s.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we started in 2010, so you are 20 years ahead of us.
And there were, like, bootleggers way before that, anyway.
Yes.
So tell me about your specific experience in starting homebrew while you open up one of your first homebrews that you brought, and tell us a little bit about that homebrew as well.
Yeah. So I started, like I say, in 2010, like a homebrewer with a friend that's called Fernando Quiñones. Shout out also to Fernando Quiñones. Now he lives in Doral, Florida. So shout out to him. We start with a homebrew company that called Ramones Brew. So we started with making some brews, like we start with making some stouts, and making American wheat, IPAs. We won a few awards on Puerto Rico, also won a few awards on the States because we send some beers to compete on the homebrew competition here in the States. So not supposed to do it, but we send it, so and we, yes. they got don't tell anybody, but
well, what did you bring for us today?
I bring some beers from Puerto Rico, or for all our industrial beer, so it's not homebrew.
Oh, okay, cool.
So we will start with some beer that I love too much because I was part of the creation of that beer.
Oh, nice.
Of the logo and part of the name of the beer, I suggest that, and they, okay, let's go with that name that I suggest, and I will tell you the story behind that name.
Okay.
So we start with Maya West.
Maya West.
Yes, Maya West. There's a municipality on the west coast of Puerto Rico that called Maya West, and it's on the west side of the island. So this beer is going to be American lager. So what I love about the logo, this logo won the best logo in the world in the CBMAs, the
Craft
Beer Marketing Awards. If you look the logo, it's like the sun, you know.
Oh, like, that is super pretty.
Sun, the beach, water, the water of the beach. Also, Puerto Rican lager. Also, here, if you go to this QR code, it's going to take you to a Spotify playlist.
There's a Spotify playlist, yep, for this beer.
For the beer. And if you look, it's like a round trip. This area is like a important areas on the west coast of Puerto Rico. This beer originally was designed only, and at the beginning only designed for the west part of the area. So the only way you can taste that beer is going to travel or drive like from San Juan, maybe an hour and a half,
mm-hmm,
to try it. It was only for one area. The beer was so popular that the owners of Ocean Lab decided to release to all the island.
That is super, yeah, cool. I mean, this can in and of itself just like tells a story about, mm-hmm, like the traveling through the island. And, you know, I just absolutely love the color of the can and, you know, just the artwork on it. It's absolutely gorgeous. It makes me feel like I am sitting on a beach.
Yes, like like I said, when we in Puerto Rico, when we design like beers, we think about the beach, about the tropicals, you know. You don't want to drink a really heavy beer.
And I can smell that in, mm-hmm, the aroma of this as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, those hops are just absolutely punchy and, mm-hmm, gorgeous. So tell us a little bit about the recipe in this.
Well, it's like a really base malt, like a pils, half a little bit also like rice, because it's American lager. It's, mm-hmm, not like lager, it's American lager. It's around 5% of alcohol. So really smooth, really mellow, really refreshing.
Yeah, it's super refreshing. Like I said, I feel like I'm sitting on a beach in November.
Yes. The problem in Puerto Rico is that Puerto Rico is summer all year long. So you don't have any, how do you say, seasons like here. Because here you have cold, here you have...
So, speaking of like seasons and more specifically the ingredients in this beer, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the unique flavors and ingredients that Puerto Rican craft brewers incorporate into their beers?
Yeah, sometimes we don't have like we had like some fruits. Puerto Rico love beer with fruits in it. So we have a fruit that's called canepa. There's guys from Señorial in Ponce that makes beer with canepa. Canepa, I don't know how to explain it. Canepa is a fruit, like a stone fruit, but little fruit.
Pretty small.
Yeah, pretty small green fruit. really nice, really particular flavor. Also, we love passion fruit.
Puerto Is it kind of like guanabana?
It's maybe close somewhat, to, but yeah. It's little fruit. So maybe when I go to Puerto Rico in December, I will bring some.
Yes, please.
I will try.
We'll have to make a homebrew together with that. And yeah. What is the fruit called again?
Quenepa. Yes.
Very nice. Well, I would definitely be interested in taking a look at that. Mm-hmm. I love bringing in, like, as far as, you know, my homebrewing experience, mm-hmm. brewing with, like, local fruit yep. that we can get here. So I actually, for my wedding... last weekend made a Belgian double with figs because wow. we actually have figs here in North Carolina and can like pick them from the trees and use them in that way. Funny story though, figs are not technically a fruit. They're an inverted flower, which people don't realize. So it's,
I'm learning.
You gonna learn today.
Yeah.
So what are the standout breweries or brewmasters in Puerto Rico that you can think of?
Let me take a paper here and have a look. So, right now, Puerto Rico is start in, if we go back on the history of the beer back in Puerto Rico, is technically 100 years old. It's not that long because starting 1900 in Puerto Rico with a brewery called Palma Real. And like you know, Puerto Rico is part of the states. Palma Real started in 1911, and like the state, we have the prohibition in the 20s, and they close out. And right now, the most popular brewery in Puerto Rico is called Cervecería Puerto Rico. Back on those days, it's called Cerveza India, and they make American light lager. It's called Medalla. That's the top seller. In Puerto Rico right now, but the craft beer is only have 3% of the sales. Only 3%. Here in the States, like a 13%, right?
Right, right.
Puerto Rico is only 3%. So the breweries that stand out, I have right here, Puerto Rico right now have around 23 microbreweries on the whole island. If I'm going to choose this. Don't feel bad. This is my personal opinion, so don't feel bad. Some people, you don't mention me. What happened?
You're throwing shade.
Yeah. If I will choose the top five for me.
If we were like, go visit Puerto Rico, these are the top five you would say
me,
to go.
That's, remember, for me. I will visit, of course, Ocean Lab. I will visit Old Harbor, also near to San Juan. I will visit Dragonstone Abbey that make Belgian style beers. Mm-hmm. I know you like Belgian style beers.
I do.
You should go to Dragonstone Abbey. Also, El Callejón in Old San Juan. Cold Blood Brewery in Quebradillas. Box Lab in Isabela. Rincón Brewery in Rincón. Also, Cacique Brewery. I think that will be my... top five or six. I don't remember how many I mentioned, but that will be my top. This is a map that make a friend of mine that called Ricky Craft Beer. Shout out to Ricky Craft Beer. He's a local blogger, so you can follow him on Instagram. So he's really knowledgeable. He's a certified Cicerone. He's really know what is he's doing on his blog.
So you had mentioned that in total beer sales in Puerto Rico, that only 3% of it yep. came from craft mm-hmm. beer. What are some of the other challenges that craft brewers face in Puerto Rico, and how do they overcome them to create quality products?
Okay. To make beer in Puerto Rico is like a different from the state. You have to import everything, all the malts, all the hops.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so, I didn't even think about that.
Yes, you have to import everything. Also, you have to pay the freight. The freight is too, very high.
Yesterday, especially as of late. it's getting better, but just barely.
Bottles, you have to bring it from the States. Cans, you have to bring it from the States. Or whatever you want to buy it. So Like I was talking yesterday to a friend of mine that got Jose Carlos Gonzalez. Jose Carlos Gonzalez is a brewmaster of a. He's a brewmaster for me. He's the best brewmaster in the island. Jose Carlos Gonzalez. He told me, Jorge, you have to think about the bottles. When we ship bottles at container bottles, sometimes the shipping is higher
than the actual cost of the bottles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's the
so you have to order a bunch in order to make it worth it for the shipping. Mm-hmm.
Also, with our the cost of power, the utility is really high.
Yeah.
We pay like 27 cents kilowatt per hour. Also, our back on the days, the tax, the local tax for the beer was $2.55 per gallon.
Holy cow.
Back in the days. They make a new whatever, and they lower to 95 cents. Right now, it's 95 cents. It's
still, not, 95 cents is outrageous.
So, 95 cents
per
plus
gallon? Not per, even barrel.
Per gallon.
Good
per
God.
Gallon. Also, you have to... Plus, the bringing all the raw material.
How is brewing in Puerto Rico like even profitable? Holy Christmas.
So that's part of our, also, like I said, the utility, the electricity is really, is too old, the system. So you have to make an investment of like a power, how you say, like a power plant or whatever. But yeah, so it's really expensive also.
Goodness gracious. Well, why don't we open up another one of the brews that you brought?
I bring this one that I bring is called Mambo.
Mambo?
Also from Ocean Lab.
Oh yeah, look at that. It's very similar into like the design. Oh wow, but look at that.
Yeah, Mambo is a passion fruit with beer. Like I said, right now, Mambo is one of the top sellers in Puerto Rico of the craft beer.
We're going to have to give Matthew some of this. He's taking a look at that going, okay, I think I'm getting thirsty now.
Of course. Mambo, they is really popular. Back on the days, the number one top seller in the craft beer segment was Blue Moon.
Oh, yeah.
And Samuel Adams. Right now, Mambo is the number one, one of the number one top seller back in Puerto Rico. Like I said, Puerto Rico like beer with a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is American wheat beer with passion fruit.
So, you know, it's funny you mention that Puerto Ricans really like fruit in their beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like my dad, I remember growing up, always would be like, don't fruit the beer, don't fruit the beer. He would get so upset, like when I would want to, you know, have a lager with like a lime in it or something. Mm. And he's like, don't fruit the beer. And then now he's like all into these like crazy like fruited sours and stuff. And I'm going, what was that about fruiting the beer, Dad? You know, maybe you need to expand your cultural... All righty, so let's take a taste of this. Yes. So you said it's a passion fruit wit beer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that aroma is like really in your face. Okay, yeah, Matthew, you're going to have to have some
it's
of this.
Like a, you can feel it's like a really ripe passion fruit, like you open in your face. So.
Oh, wow. That is absolutely gorgeous. That passion, and it's funny because like passion fruit is not easy to get mm-hmm. to come through. So this is just like really right in your face.
Yes.
Very super tropical. The wheat on there mm-hmm. Is nice and crisp and clean, but still provides you with a good mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. The haziness is in there. The color is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
You might have to bring me a six pack. Of
course. Shout out to Ian Ortiz that he sent us the breweries. Right now, he's the head brewer of Ocean Lab. Thank you, Ian. Shout out also to Luigi, the owner, Jerry, all the guys there. A big hug for me.
No. Yeah, Ocean Lab. I'm visiting y'all. This is incredible. So, Puerto Rico has a rich culinary tradition.
Mm-hmm.
How does a craft beer scene complement or pair with local cuisine?
Puerto Rico love like greasy stuff.
Oh, they like really greasy food?
Greasy, like
fatty.
The fatty turnovers. Like we have something that called alcapurria. We love, we have also fried plantains. We have mofongo. We have a bacalaitos that is a fritter with a cod, fish cod. So it's really nice. So with this type of fruit, it's going to be the perfect pairing.
Oh, yeah. Especially really, any like sourness too. Yep. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really nice. So
the fruity balances out the like super fatty and mm-hmm. heavy food. I bet this would be awesome with fried plantains.
Yes. Fried plantains, like I say. Also, we have like a kebab. We call pinchos, like a beef kebabs. Ooh. That's like a pinchos right on the street.
So. I would like to see a beef like a really nice like marinated in yes. this beer, so that way like the carbonation mm-hmm. like releases some of the toughness of that beef on kebabs. Oh my God, yes! please.
So. That's part of our food industry. It's like rice, plantain, rice and beans. So that's these beers going to the park together.
What is your favorite food and beer pairing from Puerto Rico?
Wow, like a carne guisada mm-hmm. with a carne guisada is a stewed beef mm-hmm. with some white rice and some plantains. With a lager will be amazing. Yeah, beautiful. Now,
Chef's kiss.
Now I'm hungry.
Sorry about that. I'm also hungry. Thankfully, I ate a little bit before this and before we opened up all of these beers. Unfortunately, it was just like, you know, the basic American like chicken salad.
Don't worry. I will bring you some Puerto Rican food.
Yes, we can make this happen. Can you share some personal anecdotes or stories from the craft beer community in Puerto Rico that, like, really makes you miss home?
Wow. I miss home that going to the bar of the corner and have a beer with a friend or going to a homebrew reunion. But I have an anecdote. Back in the days, there was a beer festival. A beer mm-hmm. fest back in Puerto Rico. Maybe that's what was like 6 years prior. So we were, they invite the homebrew club to this beer fest and they put us a tent. We bring like around maybe 10 beers, 10 homebrews.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to serving. The line was really long. And the producer told us you had to cut out serving because the other brewers are not selling.
They're not getting yes. enough so of a line.
You have to cut it off.
No more homebrew.
I said, okay, but
lame. Yeah, that's pretty cool that you were able to mix like homebrew and commercial beer in the yes. same festival.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a bit more about some of the festivals that like the beer-centric festivals in Puerto Rico. I know like in the United States, the way of the beer festival is kind of like on its way out. People are just not as interested as going to a beer festival and getting absolutely plastered by, and also more specifically, standing in line waiting 5 minutes for a 2 ounce pour.
Yeah. Like I said, the Puerto Rico craft beer industry is really young.
Mm-hmm.
So I am one of the oldest on the on the homebrew.
You're one of the founding fathers.
Yes, I like George Washington, you know? So I like that. So it's really young. And people is getting there. People love to taste new things. Like I said, I have also here this will be the next homebrew fest that's going to be...
Oh, when John Palmer actually goes to visit.
John Palmer is going to be there in December 9.
Yeah, so shout out once again to Breaking News, Beer and Coffee. You guys yes. actually interviewed John Palmer.
John Palmer and a few more. So it's going to be a blast. This will be like a fourth edition of the homebrew fest. 2023 at 3 p.m. La Esquinita Jardín Cervecero. So if you are around Puerto Rico, just send me a DM. I will be there. I will be traveling to Puerto Rico to be on the homebrew fest. Also, on the year round, you can make a festival in Puerto Rico because the weather is always good. Except September. hurricane season. Don't go to Puerto Rico.
heard. So, Puerto Rico is also known for its vibrant culture and music. Are there any connections between local music and Puerto Rican breweries? Obviously, like, there are a couple of QR codes on these cans that like point to Spotify playlists.
Yes.
I think that is the coolest thing ever. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, you can go to, like I said, you go in the case of Mayagüez, you go to the QR code and go to the Spotify playlist, and all the bands are Puerto Rican bands and Puerto Rican music.
Rock Bad band, Bunny.
But maybe they have something about Bad Bunny is quite famous, so he has to be there. Also, in the case of Mambo, the name is like Mambo. It's
a dance.
It's a dance also. You see that with the maracas. Also, there's a few. There's also another brewery that called Santurce Brewery that make beer with local artists, painters, also musicians. Really nice. Shout out to Juan Palermo Adrian from Santurce Brewery. They are making a really nice job doing this collaboration with the local artists. So that's really nice. I love that, what they're making.
That's not something, I mean, that's something that I feel like a lot of breweries in the United States like strive for towards, but they, a lot of them just kind of like hit the bar on that with, you know, pairing culture, music with beer and, you know, making a space for these types of like cultural integrations. You know, I would be really interested to see some of the experiences from Puerto Rico where like, the beverage is also paired with culture and with music and dance. That to me is, I mean, like I said, it's something that a lot of brewers in the United States like strive to do, but they miss the mark. Why don't we open up another beverage? I feel like I'm starting to sound, you know, like my glass is empty. Another one.
Now we're moving to Old Harbor Brewery.
Old Harbor, okay.
Shout out to Jose Carlos Gonzalez and Humberto there in Old Harbor. Shout out. This one is going to be IPA.
This, once again, super colorful label and gorgeous artwork.
It's called El Yunque. El Yunque is our most important rainforest of the island. That's called El Yunque. So it's really nice. El Yunque is really lovely to visit. So if you're in Puerto Rico, go to El Yunque. This one is really fresh. You will notice about that's maybe like half 1 week of canning.
This so my question is, did you get these in the States or did you like recently visit Puerto Rico?
Bootlegger.
Oh, okay.
They send me a few.
Oh, they send you some. Got it. Because oh my goodness, this just the. All of the aromas on these are incredibly fresh and vibrant and bright. And, you know, I haven't had any sort of note of oxidation whatsoever.
Oh, it's really, right now, the head brewer of...
Oh, my God. That IPA is incredible. And the funny thing is, it's like, I used to be a massive hophead, but I'm not really anymore. I'm just kind of like, okay, another IPA. It's
another IPA. But it's really also, it's really nice aroma, really mellow in mouth. Or the, it's really smooth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like cloying or anything. And that bitterness is like super punchy and fresh, but it doesn't, it's not... lasting like super long. It kind of it's the kind of IPA where it's the way an IPA should be.
Yeah,
it makes you want to drink more to quench that thirst.
You're right. So it's really nice, this beer. Like I said, shout out to my friends of Old Harbor.
So you've mentioned a lot about lagers in Puerto Rico, but what are some other beer styles that are really popular or unique, specifically from Puerto Rican breweries?
The next two beers are really particular. So we should open the next one or we should wait a few minutes more.
I'm okay with opening up another one. all of these have been incredible thus far. After the podcast, we will definitely need to sit and finish these because they will not go to waste. We do not believe in alcohol abuse here. Oh, wow. Once again, all of these labels are absolutely gorgeous. So, like I said before, all of these labels are absolutely gorgeous. This one is from who?
It's also from Ocean Lab.
Oh, Ocean Lab. Okay.
Also, this one is have a really emotional feeling for me.
Ocean Baraka.
Baraka is a coffee roaster from Puerto Rico. When the brewmaster Jose Carlos Gonzalez was thinking about making a coffee stout, he asked me, I'm thinking about making a coffee beer. And I say, you should use the Baraka coffee. Mm-hmm. I love coffee. I love beer. So I suggest that he use Baraka. And one day he went with me to Baraka and tasted the coffee. Okay, let's do the beer with this coffee.
Okay, that's good shit. Awesome. Well, I will go ahead and pour this for us. Gorgeous head on this.
You will see this is 100% Puerto Rican coffee.
Heck yeah. I'm super stoked about this one. And we'll put that one up front. Yep. Scoot. Thank you for the assistance.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's
try this one.
Bad boy. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That head is just gorgeous and long lasting, yes. And like got that nice, like dark tan color to it. Really creamy.
Yeah. The base of this beer is a sweet stout.
Holy cow. Damn.
The base of this one is a coffee, sweet stout. So really mellow. Like I said, Puerto Rican love the smooth beer. And they don't want, I love Imperial stout also, but for
they don't want something super heavy.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, no, this is absolutely gorgeous. That's going to be a sipper, so we'll wait a little while to open up the next one because I want to really enjoy that one. That IPA, though, was just like, oop, let me drink this immediately. So, are there any interesting stories or historical aspects related to the craft beer industry in Puerto Rico that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes, there's one. Well, there's a few. Well, there's one really nice story. Back on the days that when the brewery industry started in Puerto Rico, in the 40s and the 50s, there were two breweries. One is called Cervecería India, that now is called Cervecería de Puerto Rico. And there was another one that's called Corona.
Ah.
You know Corona, right?
Yes.
Corona. But was Corona of Puerto Rico. Corona de Puerto Rico. So in the 80s, for Corona of Mexico entered to the U.S. market, they bought the trademark of Corona de Puerto Rico so they can enter on the state with the Corona brand.
Huh, I did not know that.
So they have already have Corona in Mexico, but the trademark is a property of Puerto Ricans, of a Puerto Rican ownership.
What? I did not know that.
In the 80s.
So tell me why it moved from Cervecería India to Cervecería Puerto Rico. Why did it start out as Cervecería India?
That's one Cervecería India and then Cervecera de Puerto Rico.
Oh, de sí. Right? Okay.
It's like a brand,
new
branding, whatever. To me, globally, whatever. So they make, like I said, they make medalla. They make another. They have like a trying to make craft beer, but they're lacking. It's called the
Oeste. They didn't quite hit. No, they're
stay with the light lagers. Don't go that way. It's called the Oeste. They are not so good, but they're trying. They have the money. But they're lacking.
Money.
You can have the money, but you don't have the
ain't
brains.
Ain't that the God's truth? Goodness gracious, there are so many people out here that have a plethora of money, and yet they cannot run a brewery to shake a stick at. I mean, it's one of those situations where it's like, you know, yes, you may have really excellent business smarts, but you gotta hire people that know what the hell they're talking about.
It's going to be have passion behind the product.
Yes.
Passion. So that's why I always passion, love what you do. That's what I love OSHA Lab. When I start to work with OSHA Lab, I was their first salesperson. The first was me. And start with them, it for me was amazing.
How many barrels a year is Ocean Lab making, that would you guess? Like, yeah, maybe from where they started and where they are now.
Right now, they start maybe with 3,000, 2,000. Mm-hmm. Right now, they are making like 15,000.
Wow.
And there's,
they are, that's impressive.
They are going to spend. They're going to be they had a really like 3 or 4 expansion already. They're going to have a really good one in the next year.
Very nice,
really big expansion. So,
well, congrats to Ocean Lab.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Shout out to them.
I'm impressed.
I was part of that. I was part of that.
Hey, that was me. Are there any special events, festivals, or gatherings? I know that you specifically mentioned the Homebrew Fest.
Yep.
Are there any like other like gatherings or special events that happen specifically around craft beer?
Yes, there's a few in October. There's a few events like in Aguadilla. That's what Aguadilla is, on the west side of the island. They have Aguadilla Beer Fest, Ponce Beer Fest. Ponce is in the south of the island. So there's a few like beer festival, but for me the best of the best is the Homebrew Fest.
Yeah, it's the best of the best of the Homebrew Fest.
Yes.
You need to make a song of that, yeah, and then put it on your QR code for Spotify.
Yes.
So I actually am curious to know, what was the biggest culture shock you had for the beer industry from going from Puerto Rico up here into the United States? Like, what shocked you the most about the United States beer?
Wow. For me, here you have really nice beer. So, I have also, of course, like always, you have a really good beer and also you have bad beer.
Oh, of course.
But most of them are really good. And you are making really nice. I love I'm part of the Carboy Homebrew Club. Shout out to them.
Yep.
They're a Carboy. And for me, I feel like family here also. Feel like home. So I don't feel like foreign. I feel like I'm part of it also. I'm be part of this community, and it's really important. So
you feel like you've been welcomed into the community.
Yes, really welcome, really welcome.
Well, you've judged a couple of times with the North Carolina North Carolina Craft Brewers Cup. That's the North Carolina Craft Brewers Guild competition. Mm-hmm. My competition, the ABS Quarterly Brew Off.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've judged with us now twice.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah, and so you are also a certified Cicerone.
Yes.
And a certified beer judge BJCP.
Almost. Oh my, I need a few more points to be certified.
Well, I just submitted your points this morning, so
coming soon. I will be certified. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's really cool having, you know, judged with you.
Yeah.
Being able to sit down and hear the way that you describe beer versus the way that most Americans describe beer, especially when it comes to like fruits and different like spices and esters. Mm-hmm. You're really, the way that you describe it is a little bit different than what we do, but it has opened my lexicon for being able to describe other things as well. So judging with you is a lot of fun because I feel like I'm actually learning. So that's really cool. So I've got a couple of random fire questions for you.
Oh no.
And then we can move on to the last beer that you have.
Oh my god. I'm scared.
In your Pandora's box.
Yes.
All right. So one is one piece of homebrewing equipment you cannot live without.
Fermenter, of course.
The fermenter. Okay, very cool, very cool. What was the biggest mistake that you've made in homebrewing, and what did you learn?
Wow. Adding the yeast when the water was too hot.
Yeah, that'll definitely kill your yeast. And then you're like, why am I not fermenting?
Oh, come on.
Move, dang it, move. What is a beer that you have made that you are particularly proud of?
Wow. I think there's one that's called Another Bee. That was a IPA. With habanero peppers, strawberries, and tequila.
Mm.
I think well, and I trained that beer to the States. And I won second place on the category.
Oh, so very nice.
That's, well, I think that's my, also, I make another stout that's called Mandingo. Mandingo was one of my first homebrews that people loved back in Puerto Rico. A stout, really rich in flavor, really chocolate, coffee, so really roast aroma and flavor.
You had also recently gotten into cider. You gave us a strawberry habanero cider. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that thing was so good. I loved that one. So that's one that I'm particularly proud of for you.
And also I make one with guava, and I sent it to a competition and won second place.
Nice! What advice do you have for people looking to start the hobby of homebrewing?
Advice: learn from the, go to a homebrew club and learn from them. Also watch a lot of YouTube. Yeah. I start with YouTube,
aka breaking news beer and coffee.
Breaking news beer and coffee. Also go to a homebrew club. If you're in Puerto Rico, go to Homebrewers de Puerto Rico. If you're in North Carolina, go to Carvoy and other homebrew clubs around.
Also, Brewlosophy now has a YouTube channel where one of the guys locally, Martin Keene, he runs that.
Nice.
So I would recommend Brewlosophy, and obviously Fermentality.
Yes, of course.
And this is my favorite question to ask everybody, and it's always the last question.
Oh, my
God. Are you ready?
Yes.
If you were a beer, what would you be and why?
Wow. It had to be a brand or a style, or both?
Either.
I would be Pliny the Elder.
Pliny the Elder?
Yes, Pliny the Elder.
Well, you are one of the founding fathers of the homebrewing scene in Puerto Rico. So, yeah, Pliny the Elder makes sense. I mean, you got the gray hairs to prove it.
Yes, yeah. I have it. I don't use just for men, no that stuff. I don't like it. So.
Awesome. Well, Jorge, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast and spending the time to share your insight about the craft beer homebrewing scene in Puerto Rico. It looks like I have a lot of research on food and beer pairings from Puerto Rico.
Yes, you have to.
Because that is my favorite part of beer, is food and beer.
Yeah, let's open the last one because before we go.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I completely forgot about that.
Don't worry, I have it right here.
This is the surprise. Okay.
You have to read the style on the, what is it?
Says Dragonstone Abbey. That is one of the breweries in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, in Rio Grande.
It says,
shout out to Jose Ortiz.
You remembered my favorite beer style. It said the name of it is the Elder Flanders Red, aged in whiskey barrels.
Also have local honey.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So it says, this beer is our interpretation of a Flanders Red Ale with local honey. We designed a Flanders Red Ale recipe and aged it in bourbon barrels for 12 months. Once ready, we added the local honey to give it another layer of flavor. The result is what you hold in your hands now, a low acidity, semi-sweet beer with notes of prunes, raisins, honey, and peaches, with a beautiful aroma of bourbon that comes from the barrels. We hope you enjoy this beer as much as we do. Proud to be different. Cheers.
Nice description. Shout out to Jose Ortiz and Sandra. Shout out to them. Visit them in Dragonstone Abbey in Rio Grande. Rio Grande. It's like from San Juan, it's like a 20 to 25 minute drive. So
that's not too bad.
No. We got it.
Yeehaw. Like I said, Flanders Red is my absolute favorite.
That's why
beer
I bring
world.
It.
I'll have to give you some of mine that I made for my wedding that I also blended with my friend Lucas's Flanders Red. His was like 3 or 4 years old. Mine was much younger than that. It was about a year and 8 months ish. Okay. Mm-hmm. We blended them together and I bottled it for the wedding, and I still have like a couple of bottles left over. Mm-hmm. So. For sharing this, I will definitely bring you a bottle.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Alrighty.
So let's have it.
Let's get into this. Holy cow. I like the bourbon aroma on this. Yes. It's not like too heavy. It's just kind of like a nice pairing, or not pairing, but complement.
Mm-hmm.
It's very complimentary.
Really?
I'm making happy stomps on the floor as best I can with my bum knee, but oh my goodness gracious. That is a work of art. Wow. I am very impressed. And that honey really does shine through.
Yes.
I'm like so surprised. Honey is difficult to get to shine through. I don't even want to know how much honey they had to put in there to get make that happen.
Shout out to them. Really nice people. I love the beer industry in Puerto Rico. It's really nice people. Most of them. Sometimes there are some people that are, but most of them are really nice people. I love them.
So what I'm hearing is that because I didn't know what I wanted to do for my honeymoon, I now have to go to Puerto Rico and do the beer scene in Puerto Rico. And you're going to go and be my personal guide.
Yes,
right?
I will go. Don't worry.
Hell yes.
I got you. Don't worry. I got you. Don't
my
worry.
My man.
And from Raleigh, you will be in Puerto Rico in 3 hours and a half. So
is that it?
Yes. And right now, this is a tourist company of Puerto Rico. Pay me. Right now, you can fly one-shot flight from Raleigh to Puerto Rico, 3 hours and a half. You can fly through Frontier or JetBlue. You can find air freight round trip for less than $200.
No.
Come on.
Shit.
Go to Puerto Rico.
Okay, now I know where I'm going. Hell yeah. That's the plan. All right. So I'm thinking August.
Let me know. Whatever you want to do, let me know.
Just before hurricane season.
Yes. Don't go September. You can go. You check and go, but try to go August. Also, maybe November, December, February, March.
I mean, you did say that it is a year-long summer. So.
Yes. Endless summer in Puerto Rico.
Es muy importante.
Sí, demasiado.
All right, y'all. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Fermentality. And cheers to Jorge Ramos.
Yes.
And Breaking News, Beer and Coffee.
Salud.
Salud.